was brought into this fine organization by Professor and Mrs. Forrest McDonald. They're the main culprits in my presence here today, I suppose. I'm currently the Vice Consul and Third Secretary at the U.S. Embassy in Bogota, Colombia, where my main responsibility is as head of the American Citizens Services section. I, therefore, am that dreaded of most creatures in the Philadelphia Society, a government bureaucrat, which means that in order to be here today speaking with you, I had to get permission from the powers that be. Obtaining this permission took approximately 7 letters, 26 phone calls to the Public Relations Bureau at the U.S. Department of State. And because this exercise took such a long time, I didn't have time to prepare anything to say. I am, however, required to read a disclaimer from the U.S. government before I proceed with my remarks. Dr. Zimov is not speaking on behalf of the U.S. Department of State. His views do not reflect the policies of the U.S. government, the Clinton administration, Vernon Jordan, or Monica Lewinsky. I, of course, could not let this weekend go by without at least one Monica Lewinsky reference. Any statements grounded in history or reality made by Dr. Zimov are purely accidental and clearly do not reflect the views of the U.S. government. Recently, the government of Israel and the Vatican established diplomatic relations for the first time. In order to honor this event, the Israeli Prime Minister, Mr. Benjamin Netanyahu, decided as a sign of goodwill he would invite the Pope to play a round of golf with him, to sort of break the ice in honor of this new relationship. Well, the Pope's rather frail these days, and his golf game isn't quite what it used to be, so he decided to elect a representative to play for him with Mr. Netanyahu, a fellow named Jack Nicholas, prominent Catholic golfer from the United States. So Cardinal Nicholas, as he was now called, went off to play golf with Mr. Netanyahu. A couple weeks later, Nicholas came back and reported to the Pope on his results. He said, "Well, Holy Father, I have good news and I have bad news. The good news is I have never played such marvelous golf. My drives were long and straight, my iron play was spectacular, and my putting nearly flawless. In all, I played a spectacular round. The bad news, however, is that I lost by 2 strokes to Rabbi Tiger Woods." The title of this seminar is Will Clashes Occur? The answer, yes, thank you very much. Clearly, if history tells us anything, the answer to that question is indeed yes. Mr. Fukuyama's end of history theory has been proven disastrously wrong, as we see on our televisions each night. And especially so in the little corner of the world that I'm working in Colombia, which, oh, by the way, makes what's going on in the Balkans look rather tame. We don't hear about that on the newspapers, or in the newspapers and on television for some reason, I'm not quite sure. So the answer is yes, clashes will occur, duh. The key questions, however, and those which are not so easily answered are when, where, and why will clashes occur? And secondly, and perhaps most importantly, how can we avoid them or minimize the damages from them? As stated, these answers will not come easily, but I do know where we can find the answers to some of these questions. Right here, for instance. Right in this seminar, and in works of history or political science. Well, maybe not political science. That was a joke, sorry. The answers are there if we choose to look for them, or in the case of us here today, if we choose to listen. Because one never knows when a bit of creative thought or a single idea presented here today could have an effect on one of us, an effect that someday could mean the difference between a solid policy decision or a stupid one. Thucydides wrote the first work of history as a lesson to his contemporaries and to those who came after him so that they would not make the same mistakes that were made in the wars that he chronicled so well. Many of us in this room have similar goals in our work. But what we cannot do, and what Thucydides could not do, is guarantee that our leaders have either the will or the wit to read or to listen. Well, today we're fortunate enough to have some folks who are going to say some things which someday may prevent one of those stupid policy decisions in one way or another. And I will be introducing them in turn. First, Dr. Anthony T. Sullivan. He is the author of two books dealing respectively with Franco-Algerian relations in the 19th century and Palestinian universities in the West Bank and Gaza Strip. Dr. Sullivan has written some 80 book chapters, journal articles, and academic reviews focusing on Arab and Islamic history and relations between the West and the Muslim world. He's lectured at 70 universities and public policy institutions in the United States and extensively overseas. From 1962 to 1967, Dr. Sullivan served as instructor in history at the International College in Beirut, Lebanon. He has also served as a freshman and sophomore counselor at the University of Michigan, lecturer in history at Hillsdale College, Michigan, and since 1988, Dr. Sullivan has held an appointment as associate at the Center for Middle Eastern and North African Studies at the University of Michigan. Dr. Sullivan received his BA degree from Yale University in 1960, his MA from Columbia in 1961, and his PhD in European and Middle Eastern history from the University of Michigan in 1976. He speaks both French and Arabic, although he'll be speaking English today, I understand. Is that correct? Good. And he travels frequently to Europe and the Middle East. It is my great privilege to introduce to you Dr. Anthony Sullivan.